Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word. Please join us now as we hear a message from Pastor Toledo.
Now, what we've learned so far in this series, I think it's important for us to just walk through this very quickly. What we've learned so far in this series, in the first two messages, is first of all, that we all struggle from the womb with the flesh. Every single person, from the moment we are born, you see it in the life of Jacob. They were struggling in the womb. He said there would be two nations, but not just two nations, but it was also depicting and symbolizing two natures, the flesh, and then God, by his spirit, enables us to overcome the flesh. And so we all have a fallen nature from the time we're young and very little. When I got home last night, and I was getting ready, you know, to go to bed. It was pretty late after our second meeting here. And Chrissy started telling me a story of my oldest grandson, Wesley, who's not quite 2 years old. And they went to some store. And Wesley was feeling pretty bold, so he kept going behind where the cash register is. And they kept pulling him out, and he kept going back in. I was like, was he trying to knock off the place? Like, what was on his mind? And she said, well, Josh wasn't there, because, you know, when daddy's there, he walks the straight line. How do you know when they're little, daddy is the one who deals with the flesh? Amen. But we all have these things about us that pull us, every single one of us. It's different for everyone, but everyone has a certain kind of bent that is not good, not God glorifying. But praise be to the living God. The Lord offers us the Holy Spirit, and by the power of the Spirit, not human power, the Spirit of the living God enables us to overcome the flesh. The second thing that we learned is that we all have roots of dysfunction that need to be faced rather than denied. If you were here last week, we talked about that. No one comes from a perfect family. No one does. And even when you come from a great family, there are things that get in, and we can get all twisted up inside. That is the fact of life. You know, if we were perfect, Jesus would not have to come. But we all have roots of dysfunction, and those things need to be faced. The key thing with transformation is that you have to be willing to face your issues. And so, as the people of God, you know, when you hear that saying, oh, he's got issues, how many know? We all got issues. We just have to face it. And when we face it with the Lord, God is able to transform us. So the first two messages in this series, the Lord is laying out what the issues are. And now we're going to begin to see how the Lord begins to change Jacob. Now, just so that you know, Jacob means one who grasps, or Jacob means trickster. It means supplanter. It means flim-flam man. You know, Jacob was a con artist and a swindler. That was literally his name. And this is the one that God chose to make part of the line of Christ. And today we're going to see that in this particular chapter, and this is the title of the message today, today we're going to be looking at the turning point of transformation. The turning point of transformation. As we go to read this passage of Scripture, I want you to have in your mind that this was the beginning of change in his life. How many know if there is change, there has to be a beginning? So let's read it together, and then we're going to pray and dig into this passage here. Genesis 28, beginning with verse 10. Now, just before I read this, just know when these two words, when it says Jacob left because he was running. His brother had threatened to kill him after he stole the blessing from him, and his mother made up another story to get him out of there because his life was in danger. So the Bible says here, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. The angels of God. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you. This is a key text here, okay? Everybody look at me. Remember the context. This guy is running because he's a thief and a con artist, okay? This meeting is not because he deserves it, but watch. It says, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until, everyone say until. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God we serve. It says, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Little more. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. In other words, he built an altar to God. It says he called that place Bethel, which means house of God. And it says, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey, I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, he says a little more, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. So this is a very interesting and unique story. And remember, all of the stories in the Bible are for our benefit. And this story is where transformation begins. There is a change that is about to take place in his life. And what we're going to do now is focus on how is it that God begins transformation in a person's life? How does God change people? What is the nature of it? What is the course of it? Now, the first thing that this teaches us is that transformation is initiated by heaven. Transformation is initiated by heaven. It says, he runs, he's sleeping on a rock. Why is he sleeping on a rock? Okay, here's why. It's because his terrible decisions have now isolated him and alienated him. He's living in the flesh and he's running for his life. And so instead of resting in the comfort and in the blessing of God, he literally is sleeping on a rock. Pastor Matt said, that's not a down pillow. Okay, that is a rock. And you know what? That's the way the flesh is. Listen to me. You know what the flesh does? And this is a great way to even judge if you're in the flesh. Because many times we're making decisions and those decisions are isolating us more and more. If you have to run from people, if you have to hide from people, if your decisions are causing you to have to avoid people, if you find yourself in one difficult situation after another, maybe you just happen to be making decisions based on the flesh. That's what we see here. That Jacob was a man who was in the flesh. And it keeps happening over and over in his life. And now, what's awesome about God is that even though Jacob is running and he's isolated himself, God takes advantage of him being alone. And what God does is God when he falls asleep that night, God gives him a dream. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And so here's what happens. Jacob was not thinking about God. Jacob was running. Jacob was a mess. But you know what? Even when we're not thinking about God, even when we're running, the mercy of God chases us. God's love is so great that he pursues us. You know, I can tell you this much. If you're here today and you're in a wrestling match with God, you can run all you want, but you can't hide, because wherever you move, how many have found that God is wherever we end up? Hallelujah. Here's, you know, God lives outside of time, right? So in this spot, God is there. You move over here, guess who's there? You move over here, guess who's there? And what you see here is that God made a promise to Jacob even when he was a baby. God made a promise that he was going to bless him, and that through his line, Christ would come and nations would be blessed and people would be blessed. We, in a sense, are part of the line of Jacob by faith. You see, but what you see here is that the initiator, the starter of this great thing that happened in his life, it wasn't Jacob. It was the Lord. The Lord is the one who starts everything. How many know, if you're here today, the Bible says no one is righteous, not even one. The Bible says no one seeks the Lord. But you know what's awesome? God is the one who seeks us. If you ever get a spiritual thought, don't go like this. Because how many know that's God? How many know God chases us? He loves us. He pursues us. All transformation starts with God. Remember that. All transformation starts with God. Even when you find yourself in uncomfortable places and you're in a bit of a struggle and you're going, what in the world is going on in my life? And you feel, you know, isn't it something when you're trying to avoid God, the nudges of the Spirit? He's like, It's because he loves us. And listen to me, his mercy will pursue us to the very end. His mercy will pursue us to the very end. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit is relentless in transforming his people. He's relentless. And that's why the Holy Spirit continues to work. And if you've ever said to yourself, why do I keep having the same thing happen to me? Because you know what happens in life, right? You have a lesson that God is trying to teach you. Right? And sometimes you avoid the lesson, okay? Pastor Matt said, sometimes we say, God, I'm gonna put that lesson in the Amazon cart. You know, when you say you're almost gonna buy that thing, you put it in the cart. Then you check the cart, there's like 15 things in there that you didn't buy. And you say, I'm gonna table this. I'm gonna put this aside for a while. And I said, okay, and so you avoid it. And then you go and do something else. And then all of a sudden, different set of circumstances, same lesson. And then you say, you know what, I'm moving. I know what I need to do. I need to get out of this place, okay? You know what the problem with leaving someplace is? That wherever you go, that's where you are. And then when you get there, guess what the Lord is doing? He's waiting and he's initiating. Now, this is incredible news, because what this shows is that God is the one who has decided to do the good work. Here's what the way the Bible puts it in the New Testament. It says, he who began a good work will carry it on to completion. Aren't you thankful today that he starts it and he sees it all the way through? Amen. Let's praise God. Hallelujah. That's what he does. That's the way he does it. So it's important for us to understand, first of all, transformation is a work of the Spirit initiated by the Spirit. All real change, is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of God. When Jacob saw the angels, you know, we don't talk much about angels, so I'm glad that this came up, okay? Why did God show Jacob angels, okay? Angels represent something very specific. If you could put up the next slide. Look at what the Bible says in Hebrews 1:14. It says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to those who will inherit salvation? In other words, God revealed the angels to Jacob to say, Jacob, you've been running. You've been trying to do this in your own strength. You've been doing all of these things. And all along, my angels have been over you, protecting you. Okay, and even before you're saved, even before we're saved, how many had some seriously close calls before you got saved? All right, don't ever think that that was you and you were clever and you were slick and like, oh yeah, I got out of that one. No, you didn't. That was an angel. That was an angel that delivered you from evil because God knew that you would inherit salvation one day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, we have a brother in our church who used to be literally the leader, the president of a gang. And he's a man of God now. He told me that in his younger days, you know, he had a praying grandmother. Praise God for praying grandmothers. You know why? Because they pray those angels right around us. And he told me that when he was living the life of a madman, there were many times that literally he was shot at and he just didn't get hit. And he felt like, you know what, I'm invincible. He literally had in his head, you know, I'm invincible. Can't hurt me, you know. I'm the man. And how many know it was just the mercy of God? It was the angels of God over his life, watching over him, protecting him. It begins with the Holy Spirit, and it is carried on by the Holy Spirit. Now listen, the reason why that is important is because when people battle with their dysfunction and their issues, they tend to think, I've got to do this. But listen, you don't have to do it. In fact, the very thought that has brought it up, that's the Holy Spirit bringing it up. Because in our own self, we will avoid it. Maybe you're here and you're battling with some kind of perversion, and what you want to do is ignore it. But God has the power to break that perversion. Maybe you're dealing with anger. Maybe you're dealing with some kind of deep-rooted jealousy. Maybe you're full of racist thoughts and you hate people from other cultures. It doesn't matter what it is. When the Holy Spirit, if you feel the nudging of God, it's God. And it's God because he wants to change and transform. He is the kind of God who is able to take the things that are twisted and broken and turn them and make them straight and right so that they could glorify him and honor him. But see, listen, it's the Spirit of God first. It's the Spirit of God first. And it's important for us to realize that the Lord is after us. Hope is in the air because the Lord is after us. Yesterday, while I was speaking, I was right here on the platform. And we'll move on from this point in a second. I was standing actually right here. I got a little marker that I'm supposed to stand here. And I was talking about how Jesus was arrested and how they put him on trial and how they crucified him. And I could feel at that moment, I was telling my wife when I got home, I could feel the Spirit of God reaching to people. I could feel him like it was amazing. The Spirit of God reaching to people saying, I love you. I died for you. I already know what you did. I already know where you're at. I can change you. I can change your deepest, darkest secret. He's the one who starts this thing called transformation. All we have to do is yield and open up our heart to him. So listen, if the Lord has been dealing with you on the tough stuff, open up to him. Doesn't matter how long it's been. It doesn't matter how deep, how old. If the Lord is dealing with you, remember the Lord is initiating something. He's starting something. He's the one who starts it, and he's the one who completes it. Now, secondly, what this passage teaches us is that transformation begins when we begin to live by faith. Transformation begins when we begin to live by faith. Faith is the turning point of our lives, believe it or not. Faith is the thing that activates everything. We just have to respond to God by faith. Look at what the Bible says here. It says, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And here it is. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, imagine, he went to sleep running. He went to sleep in a deceptive state, running for his life. And he went to sleep, but God already had mercy waiting for him when he woke up. And he has this vision. And then when Jacob wakes up from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. And I wasn't aware of it. I didn't realize it. But the Lord really was in this place. And that was the beginning. You know what was the beginning? It was when Jacob realized, wait a second, God is with me. God loves me. God promised that he will not stop. He won't leave me until he finishes the thing that he promised in my life, in his life. And the moment he said, I believe, Lord, I believe, everything started to change. And here's the way it works. The moment that you say, instead of doing it in your own strength, instead of blaming people, instead of blaming your spouse, you know what the key is? When your children are away from the Lord, you know what the key is? When your marriage is broken, or when your heart or your mind is broken, when does it start? It's when you have an encounter with the presence of God, and all you have to say is, I believe, Lord. I believe. You know, they just sent me a video a couple days ago. They sent it to say, hey, we want to encourage you. So it's been a while. I don't even know how long it's been. Rigo, when were you in the accident? Yeah, so in 2014, our brother was in an accident that was, we were sure, without the mercy of God, without a miracle from God, we were going to lose him. He was in the back of a truck. The guy driving fell asleep. And a car came and they crashed. It was horrible. He was twisted. He's a big man. He was twisted like a pretzel. He told me when he woke up, his knee was by his ear. He was twisted, broken. They were giving us reports. The sister was texting. He can't even breathe on his own. And we were praying, just let him breathe. And then he has no circulation. God, send circulation. And on and on and on. And we literally prayed step by step by step by step that God would bring him to life. And so anyway, the moment comes when I was away and I actually got to speak to Rigo. So when the first conversation I had with him, here's what he told me. He said, Pastor, I was asleep. It was a crash. I was twisted like a pretzel. And he said, when I woke up, when I realized what was happening, I just did one thing. I said, Jesus, I just surrendered to you. Okay? Twisted up in a truck. Okay, they don't know how they're going to get him out of there. They don't even know if he's going to come out of their life. He just said one thing. Listen, one act of faith activates all the powers of heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. One step of faith, one act of faith, one prayer of faith, one prayer of faith. All the powers of heaven are activated. And I remember the day that he told me. He said, well, I'm hoping that in, I think it was 4 or 5 months, I'll be able to get to church. They said, if I do this, I'll be able to get to church. 2 weeks later, he's at church. Literally 2 weeks later. Well, they said, you know, they were talking about cutting off his leg. And I mean, forgive me for having you, but you know that this is for the glory of God. So they sent me a video the other day. And this guy who they say, you won't be able to use your leg, this and that, they sent me a video the other day. And Rigo, I should have gotten it put on. Rigo has his cane in his hand. And like from here to there, he goes like this. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many know God is awesome and mighty and powerful? Hallelujah. We have another brother here who they said he has had cancer, and they give him a very negative report. And we prayed in the prayer meeting one prayer of faith. One prayer of faith. And the brother's clean. He just got the report. He's clean, and we've been praising God and giving him glory and honor and praise. Hallelujah. One prayer of faith. Faith is what activates all of it. Listen, only faith can access the powers of heaven. You'll never be good enough. You'll never earn it. Okay? Only faith. Everyone say faith. Faith is what gains us access to the powers of heaven. Just believe. You mean to tell me that I'm a no good, low life, dirty, rotten scoundrel, and all I have to do is turn to God and say, God, I don't know how in the world you would change a wretch like me, but God, I believe. Or God, I don't know how in the world you could change my heart towards my spouse's heart towards me. I don't know, God, how in the world you could do it, but God, today, I believe. All you have to do is believe. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's faith. Only faith will enable us to live by the Spirit. So, right before we move to the last point, listen. So let's say someone has some kind of life-controlling addiction. They put their faith in God. Okay, how do you say no? What happens is when you start to move into faith, faith enables you to start to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. See, the Bible doesn't say, well, change your mind, change this. And there is, God does all of those things. Change yourself. How many know we can't change ourselves? We're living in a culture. We're so information-oriented. We're so procedure-oriented. Everything that goes wrong, we think we can solve it by Googling it. But how many know you can't Google the powers of heaven? You have to reach out by faith. How many would say amen? Hallelujah. Faith. It's just faith. Just, I believe you, God. You know, we say this all the time. Here's a mistake that people make. Don't try to figure out the miracle. You ever do that? You ever ask God for something and say, well, God, you know, if you move on my neighbor's heart and you tell them to give me $10,000, everything will be solved. I think they're doing pretty well, God. Or if you do this or if you do that, don't tell God what to do. Just say, God, I believe. Everyone, let's say, I believe. I believe you, God. We believe you, Lord. Hallelujah. Faith. Faith is the beginning of all change. It's the beginning of all transformation. Finally, after all of this time, Jacob says, God was here, and I didn't even know it. But now I know it, Lord. Now I know it. And then here's the last thing, and then we're going to close. Once he accepted that God was actually watching over him, okay? Because here's what happens. Jake feels like, Jake. Pastor Jake, I'm sorry. It is your name though, right? Jacob feels like, I've got to grab the blessing. I've got to do this. I've got to do it. I've got to do it. And he's manipulating and he's creating so much trouble. But finally, he realizes, no, God is watching over me. He really is watching over me. I'm going to trust him. I put my faith in him. What you see, and then we're kind of going to be discussing this over the next 4 or 5 weeks. Not next Sunday, we're going to talk about the resurrection next Sunday, but after that, what you see is that transformation has a very specific order. Transformation has a very specific order. Look at this. Early the next morning. Okay? Early the next morning. This is very interesting because the first time God speaks to his grandfather Abraham and he said, go to a place where I will show you, early the next morning, the Bible says, Abraham got up and went. When he told Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son, it says the next morning, boom, he got going. So watch. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. So he builds an altar to God. Okay, when was the last time you built an altar to God? We don't build them with our own hands. Where's that little bench? That, oh, man, they took my bench away. Emma's sitting on, that's all right. That's all right. Be comfortable. Right, so he takes this thing. He takes this thing, okay, and he pours oil on it. And he says, God, I can't go to whatever the prescribed place is right now. I need to meet you here and now. And he begins to worship him. And he begins to seek his face. He literally builds an altar to God. Faith makes you seek God. That's what faith does. It makes you seek God. It says he called that place Bethel. Go ahead and put that back up. Though the city used to be called Luz, then Jacob made a vow saying, listen to this, watch this. If God will be with me and watch over me on this journey, I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And all of that you give me, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Now, this shows you something very, very important, okay? A lot of times people have an encounter with God. How many love having a meeting with God? We love having a meeting with God. A lot of times people come to the altar and they weep in the presence of God. All good. You know why? That's where it begins. You build an altar to God, okay? But then after you build the altar, there are other things. There are other things. So I want to give you that specific, very specific order, okay, to transformation. The order of transformation is, first of all, presence. Notice that all of this that took place in his life started in the presence of God. It starts with God. It doesn't start with people, it starts with God, okay? Then after his presence, and you look at anyone whose life has really been changed by the power of God, then all of a sudden, from presence, it leads to practice. Everyone say practice. Practice means that all of a sudden, he starts to take some very specific steps, okay? He's seeking God, that's what you call presence. But after he seeks God, he says, you know what? I have been a thief. I've been so full of greed my whole life. I stole my brother's blessing, his birthright. I conned my dad. I stole the other blessing. I've been so greedy and so covetous. And you know what he says? Now that I know that God is my God and that he's with me, you know what? I'm going to become a giver instead of a taker now. And that's why he gave the tithe, because he took a practical step in the direction of change. That practical step is a faith step. You understand? He actually did something. Faith without works is what? Dead. So you cry at the altar, yes, but now, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? We just spoke to someone who got kind of snared by something, and we prayed with him, and the presence of God was with us as we prayed with a brother just recently, but then we said, okay, what are you going to do now? Okay, God is with you. What are you going to do now? You know what you're going to do? You're going to make that phone call and you're going to say to that person, no more. This relationship is over. Everyone here, whenever God meets you, he always has a very practical step after that. That's how you change. That's how you grow. There, you know, if you stole, what's the practical step? Give it back. Okay? If you're going to cheat on your taxes, what's the practical step? God says, don't worry about that. I'll help you. I can bless you. I can make this coming year 10 times better than last year. I believe, God. I believe. Well, then pay your taxes. Take the practical step. Sometimes, it's go say I'm sorry. Go say I love you. There's a lot of new people here. Once I was in a prayer meeting early on, and I was in a meeting seeking God and telling God I was surrendering. I was leaving for Africa. I was going to China. I was going to be with the underground church, the overground church, every church. I was ready to go. Seeking God, and as I was seeking God, as God is my witness, the Lord spoke to me and said, you're ready to do my work? Yes, Lord. He said, go home and tell your mother you love her. Because I had an argument with my mom that day. Right? Sometimes we're thinking about all of these grand things, and we're ignoring the practical change. And the Lord, he makes mighty men and women of God out of simple steps of obedience that are motivated by faith in your meeting with God. You have a meeting with God, and now you're motivated by faith to take steps that say, God, I know this will honor you, God. Step one. I know this will honor you. Step two. How many know that's the way God changes people? And then put that back up. And then here's what happens. And then what God does is he provides people along the way to support us. Notice that Jacob isolated himself. Listen, you're not called to be isolated. The flesh isolates you. The enemy says, get away from the people of God. It's not God's will. We are the body of Christ. The Bible says, don't forsake the gathering of the saints. Get together with the people of God. And you know why? It says, so that you won't be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We need each other. How many would say amen? We need each other. We need to support each other. Now it's important for us to understand, though, that it's, let's say the order together. Ready? Presence, practice, people. It's not reversed. It's not reversed. What's happening in the church, and there are movements, and even church structures have gotten to the point where you know what we do? We do people, practice, and once in a blue moon, presence. We go to all kinds of people instead of going to God. We talk to each other, and we have all of these meetings instead of going to God. Let's say it again. Ready? Presence, practice, people. Not reversed. Because no man can do what God can do. How many would say amen? Come on, let's praise him. Hallelujah. Hope is in the air. God is on the move. You know, in the beginning of this year, we've already had 300 people give their lives to Christ. Hallelujah. 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 You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that where sin does abound, grace even more abounds. The darker things get in Chicago, the greater the light of Christ can shine through his people. How many would say amen? Hallelujah. But here's the key, guys, and then we'll close with this. You know what the key is, right? The key is that if God does a work in us, then we can do a work for him. The greatest advertisement for Jesus is a healthy, spirit-filled Christian. That's the greatest advertisement. And that's why we have to be courageous And we have to be full of faith, and we have to bring our stuff to God and say, transform me, God. Change me, Lord. Not for myself, but for your glory. Change me, Lord, because if you change me, then people are going to look at my life and they're going to say, how did you change? And I'm going to be able to say, Jesus changed me. And they're going to say, I want some of that Jesus too. Hallelujah. Would you lead me to that Jesus? So let's just, you know what? Let's all stand. Father, we thank you that with you, Lord, faith is the turning point. We thank you, Lord, that you're the one who's always chasing us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. And God, now, Lord, we release your people with the promise that he who begins the good work, he will carry it on to completion, O God. And I pray that your spirit would work out, O God, every step, O God, every visitation from on high, so that you would be glorified through all of our lives. We believe you, we trust you, and we thank you for all these things in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. Let's bless him one more time. Praise the Lord.